welcome to the Smoke Break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane, here with Zoe Schwartz.
I'm Zoe. I have a scratch on my eye.
And Brendo.
Hello.
And Taylor.
Hi.
Hey. So on this week's episode, I'm super excited to talk with you. We have a really funny comedian here. You actually have a couple credits, don't you?
Well, yeah, I've been podcasting since 2004,
oh, so shit.
20 years now.
Damn.
I'm a little off the game because we'll get into it, but I went a little nuts in 2020 and I let my domains expire and all that shit. So
damn. Yeah. All right. So you're one of the old school podcasters. We're new to the game and I appreciate having you.
Thank you. It's happy to be here. Always happy to be on a podcast. And then, you know, doing the comedy, been doing it for like 6 years. 6 years. I don't count COVID years.
Yeah, those are just made up years.
Or in Portland. Believe. So yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, yeah, I'm excited to talk with you. And something you wanted to bring was just kind of like your personal journey and road to sobriety. So just out of curiosity, like where do you think that started for you?
Well, it started when it happened many times since I've been in Portland. People have suggested, like, hey, Brendo, you smoke a lot of weed. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about quitting weed? Because you always say you're a sad boy and maybe the two are related. I don't know.
And coincidence, I swear.
No. Nah, and I was like, no. That's how I cope with being a sad boy is the weed. But I was smoking at the end of my use. I was smoking 15 half grams a day.
I'm bad at math, but that sounds like a lot.
It's a lot. It's like a quarter a day. Yeah. Like, I was spending hundreds of dollars a month because I got really into like the fancy pre-rolls, which is a real bad thing
infused.
To get into. Oh, yeah. I got into
like a string of wax around the side.
Yeah, like the infused stuff. And then just, I work part-time. I don't work full-time. And I make minimum wage. So I had to really stretch that dollar. Mm. So I live in Southwest and I would go all the way down to 82nd to get dollar joints.
Oh,
and sometimes even to Jansen Beach for a while. I was going up there because a friend worked at a store. Yeah. So I'd be on these crazy weed journeys to get dollar
putting
joints.
In all this extra effort.
Because I'd buy like $50 worth of dollar pre-rolls at a time and just be having these big bags of joints. And it was so bad because I'm a bus boy. Mm-hmm. I take the max. I take the bus. And sometimes
I also pick up cups.
Yeah. I'm also making part time. I work part time as a bus boy. I'm a bus boy.
And, nice.
And I would get so high sometimes. This happened four times. Mm-hmm. I left all my weed on the max.
Damn, that's a red flag.
You sound like warning
And then
signs.
The next day I'd go get more. And one time I did it twice in a row. Because I'd like, something would happen or I'd just space out. I'd get up, get off the bus and realize I'm not holding my weed anymore.
God.
And the first time it happened, it was because I was legit in danger. There was this guy just flipping out on the max and I, in the process of getting away from him, I left my weed and then I'm like, I'm not coming back for that.
You knew you were sacrificing that to the weed gods.
But it started becoming like, I just would forget.
Mm.
It sounds like those, like now, I don't know. Do you feel like at the time you were like acknowledging those as red flags or do you feel like now looking back,
it was a definite red flag. I just took it as like, oh, you know, that's.
It happens.
It happens.
Just 50 joints, you
50
know?
50 joints. Just gave it away to some lucky bastard.
Yeah.
Someone's having a good day on the max.
Yeah, well, and it sounds too like a lot of your, I don't know, like the warning signs for you were kind of just like the amount of use.
Yeah, the amount of use. And also, I was prone to wild mood swings.
Okay.
Like just like either super down in the dumps or I get super angry.
Yeah, the like, two most fun ones that are not destructive at all.
Yeah. I remember one time, I mean, Carson, my brother, will gladly tell this story. we were fighting because I almost burned down our house that I was living in. While smoking weed, I set a patio canopy on fire.
Okay.
And that almost spread to the roof.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, this is in my brother and sister-in-law's house that they purchased. And so that was kind of the last straw of me living there. And in the process of them discussing me leaving, I had a burrito and I threw a burrito at Carson's head.
That was a real nail in the coffin.
Oh, yeah. That was like game over.
You could have redeemed yourself until the burrito.
Yeah, and Carson will bring that up. He's like, "You were so mad, you threw a burrito at me, like, bro."
And you love burritos,
yeah. And it was a Tecos burrito, which is my favorite.
Damn, okay.
Like the California burrito.
That's a real marker.
French fries and carne asada and guacamole.
Oh yeah, that's delicious.
That's a real marker of how upset
I feel
you
like
were.
When food gets thrown, that's always a red flag.
Oh yeah.
My ex-boyfriend threw a hot dog out the window one time when we were fighting.
Even at you, just out there. Fuck this.
When I was at my worst, like, because I've been on and off meds since I was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. I got prescribed Zoloft at 12,
mm-hmm.
and the one time I was on, I think I was off meds,
mm-hmm.
and I was having such bad like anger attacks.
Mm-hmm.
That one time I was at In-N-Out and we'd waited, like, you know how it is at In-N-Out.
I went last night,
like,
I do.
I waited like an hour to get my food and then something happened where I was so mad I just threw it all on the ground.
Yeah.
Whoa, buddy, you need help.
Yeah, I feel like food anger is like especially if it's food you like. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I feel like that's a different
it's
reaction.
Like, there goes my double animal style.
Yeah,
like,
that you waited a long time.
I waited
for
an hour for.
And now
why
you're hangry.
Yeah, Taylor. Just out of curiosity, like, what's your experience with like, you know, either cutting back on substances or not using certain substances at all?
It's been a weird one over the last like 8 years ish. I was in my last relationship, we kind of bonded over using substances.
Sure.
And I watched her get a lot more into it a lot quicker than I did. Mm-hmm. And so she kind of like hit this threshold where she was like waking up with like cocaine in her hair and like constant bloody noses. And she was doing like any color of any rock that anybody put in front of her. And holy shit, like, this is kind of getting a little out of hand. And both of our mood swings were like ridiculous because we were both on come downs constantly. We were both like just drained of serotonin constantly.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of those like big, like, eye opening moments where I was like, this is a lot. Like, this is not cool. And we kind of parted ways. And since then I've just been like doing a little bit less. I was in like a mental health program. I'm still in the mental health program, but they drug test you. And so I had to take UAs for a long time and I'm still taking UAs and it's fucking obnoxious, but
best way to get sober. Cause the court made you.
Yeah. It encouraged me to, it required me to stop smoking weed. And
it encouraged you with jail time.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're like, hey, if you don't do this, and I was like, wow, that's encouraging. I haven't smoked weed in over a year. And that was the hardest thing to stop for me. It fucks you up. Not like you get so used to it and then you just stop suddenly and you're like, this fog that's been around your brain just kind of like lifts.
Gone.
Mm-hmm. And now all these things that you've been neglecting they're just there.
Yeah.
They're so in your face and you're just like, okay, I have to deal with this. I have to deal with this. And like, you're not ready for it because all the fog has just been like this comfortable like buffer around you.
Yeah. Nice fog. It's a comfortable fog.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's cozy.
When that fog lifted for me, I was like, oh geez, like I got to clean my house. I got to do this stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Not like figuratively and literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, like, I had some medical issues that arose because of it. Like, mm-hmm. I could not sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was getting sick to my stomach in the mornings.
Ooh, okay.
Like, having, like, withdrawals almost.
Sure, sure.
Well, because, like I said, 15.
What about the dreams, though?
Oh.
When you quit smoking?
I started having these vivid dreams.
Yeah, they're wild.
And I got in trouble because I would have such vivid dreams of conversations I had with people thinking they were real.
Oh, wow.
And then like one of my friends, I was like, I talked to somebody and I was like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I said, did this and this and this. And then they told that person and that person was like, Brenda, what the fuck? That never happened. And then I'm like, am I going crazy?
Yeah.
Like, and that's where I had to talk to my psychiatrist because I'm like, hey, this is happening. And she had to reassure me like, you are going to be dealing with this for several months,
right?
As your serotonin levels like even out, like you're going to be all over the place. Cause like for a while, I'm like, am I bipolar? What's going on?
Sure.
Cause I would have these crazy manic episodes
mm-hmm.
where I would not remember
mm-hmm.
what was happening
mm-hmm.
later. I'm like, cause somebody like I was at Funhouse like the other, like this was like a few months ago, mm-hmm. and I was just on a tear talking shit. And I do not remember all the things I said until people were being like, oh yeah, you said this, 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 and this. And none of it was bad or wrong.
Yeah.
It was all truth. But it, I probably could have been better about the way I did it.
Yeah.
And but I, yeah, it was like Brenda was having his own private podcast in the clown room.
Yeah, for me, the dreams weren't
in the clown room. Makes it sound
like I knew they were dreams after I woke up. Like there was like 20 minutes maybe where I was like, did that fucking happen? Like I don't know. I don't know. But like after I realized it was just a dream, like they were so distinct and so vivid, and they were usually like nightmarish. Not
I've been
like,
having some crazy nightmares.
Mine are usually really intense.
And they weren't like scary, like violent nightmares. They were like really uncomfortable situations that were like triggering as fuck.
Like people interacting with me. To your fears.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Well, I've been having dreams specifically of people that make me uncomfortable.
Yep.
Doing
things that make me uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what I'd like to do when I'm sleeping? Not think about stressful things.
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, and I feel like the thing with like sobriety too is just that like there's all these problems that we have, and then we remove one, and we still have all the problems.
Yeah.
You know? And
that's why it's like, just a journey. Yeah.
We remove the coping mechanism.
Exactly. Right? And you remove the coping mechanism, and it's like, I think the difficult thing is like figuring out
how to cope without the mechanism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, how do I navigate all these things without a substance that has like made it easier? Because it's just like, I feel like I want to change my relationship with marijuana, because it's like, I have really bad anxiety, and every time I fucking smoke weed, especially when it's out in public, except for like last night, but like every time I go out in public, I fucking panic. I think that everything I say is stupid. Everybody hates me, and that fucking just like the levels of like bad, 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 bad. But like I'm trying to change my relationship with it, not to like total sobriety, because like I'm sober off of alcohol coming up on like 4 years now.
Wow. Shit.
Yeah, thank you. But as far as like with that substance, like picking a time that like it isn't getting in the way of things. Because it's like, I feel like sobriety isn't necessary or whatever you want to say. And like until it becomes a barrier to the things you want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like weed was, I definitely hit a wall with comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was becoming known as like somebody even called it the Brendo delay. Like you would talk to me and there's like a 10 second where like nothing is happening.
Like processing.
Like, and then I'd be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So they like, bro, it's like built happened? In like, and for me, I'm like, oh shit. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's not good for comedy, right? You got to think.
No. And then like, I definitely hit a wall writing jokes and coming up with stuff. Like I would come up with things and then forget them immediately.
Yes, that's fucking
and
fucks
it would
me
drive
up.
Me crazy. Cause I have ADHD. I can't write things down. I don't remember them. I don't look at them.
Yeah.
So it's all in my head. I also have like a crazy memory.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all in my head. But when your head is full of weed, it gets all fucked up.
It's a little bit harder to access those parts as quickly.
And now,
where all these compartments go.
And now like I'm firing on so many more cylinders that like I'm writing new jokes. I'm remembering them. I'm also able to network with people and talk to people and be present when talking with people so much better. Like I'm getting offered so many more opportunities because of that, and being more assertive, trying to get opportunities and like things I would never do before. Cause I was always so anxious or so like down on myself. I'm like, oh, I can't ask for that.
Yeah. I don't deserve this. Yeah, yeah. Or like, what if I ask? And well, no. And I think that's a really good thing to bring up is like, that's, I feel like my skill, like if I were to say I put all my points into one skill, it would be into talking to people, right?
Yeah.
Put all my points into that. And every time I fucking smoke weed, I fucking like...
Same.
Yeah, I lose all those fucking
points.
All those
points are gone.
Yeah, and it's just like, I feel like I can't even interact with the world the same. And that's where like, for me, it's become a barrier.
Because, I don't know, you guys might remember, you might have known me before the change, but I was always outside just smoking a joint, not really interacting with people or just on a very surface level, like, oh, bleh, bleh, just quick
I remember you saying bleh, bleh.
Yeah.
That's your count.
And I'm like, I'm getting high, fuck off. Like,
totally.
Yeah.
I can relate to the thing that you were talking about, like having to develop the new coping mechanisms. Cause like when I the one thing that I feel like I've really struggled, like I got addicted to anxiety medication when I was younger. And because I have really bad anxiety, so it was like, oh my God.
This is awesome.
This feels great. But
I
then
had unlimited Ativan for a while.
It's dangerous. I lost all of my coping mechanisms because it was basically like I didn't have to deal with it. And I didn't feel account. I was a real
you
dick.
Just take a
I
pill.
Didn't feel accountable for anything. I remember being like, what the fuck is everybody's fucking problem?
Yeah.
And then finally one day I was like, nobody wants to hang out with me. Like, maybe I'm the problem. It took me like 4 years. I mean, it got worse over time.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, a big part of it was that it took away all of my coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm. So I literally was like more anxious than I'd ever been when I first got off of it and like lower functioning than I'd ever been.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there's definitely like a transition period that is necessary with like trying to figure out how to navigate the world when you don't have the same coping mechanisms. But yeah, I appreciate everybody sharing their journey on, you know, what that even looked like.
Yeah.
Cool. So we're going to take a real quick break and we'll be right back with the smoke break. And welcome back to the smoke break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane, here with Zoe Schwartz.
Still have something in my eye.
Brendo.
Hey.
Taylor.
I punched myself in the eye last week, so you stole my thing.
We have a lot of just danger, eye danger. Keep your eyes safe. So on this part, speaking of eye danger, this isn't a good segue. Medication. You know,
don't put it in your eye unless you're supposed to.
Unless it's eye meds.
Yeah. Exactly. But we're specifically talking about mental health meds, stuff like that. I've had a kind of a journey with that. I was heavily medicated when I was a child. They're just like, oh, you're hyper. You must have ADHD. In the 90s. So here's blue meth.
How old were you when you got put on?
God, like first or second grade.
Damn
the Heisenberg like you early.
Do you remember your childhood?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, none of my friends that were on Ritalin as a kid remember anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn,
just blank space.
Wild.
But yeah, they put me on that. And so like for a really long time, I had like an aversion to medication just because it was like just really high stimulants as a child. And you're like, I don't like how this makes me feel.
And you didn't have a choice either.
Nope. Yeah. So I just really didn't like it. And as I've kind of like gone over time, I've like, you know, you get to that point where you're just like, oh, I feel good. I don't need these, which is like saying, like, I don't feel hungry. I'm going to stop eating food, you know, which is very it's like food's made you whatever. So I've had like those experiences. I just recently got on fucking anxiety meds. Mm. Holy shit. I have been like paralyzed with anxiety for the entire last year.
Mm.
And I have thought that like at some point I would just get over it. And I just never did. So I finally fucking like I took these meds and I was just like, holy shit, I'm not afraid of existence.
Do you care if I ask what it is?
Hydroxyzine.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, but it's just like it's a quick. You kind of just take it as you feel it.
It's not
I just
a benzo,
assume I'm
though,
going to feel
good.
It all the time, so I just fucking eat it anyways. I'm just like I'm gonna be anxious at some point today. Let's just take
awesome.
It, but
get in front of it with the meds.
Yeah, and there's different challenges and stuff like that. But I am kind of curious about everyone else's experience with like medication.
Well, I think that kind of what you said is like I feel like it's a journey to like one like accepting that maybe you need or would highly benefit from medication,
sure.
And then once you decide that, figuring out which medication actually works for
it's
you.
It's a process.
Yeah, and so I think for me, I've had like when I was probably 18, 17, I got diagnosed with ADHD, but I've definitely had it my whole life.
Sure.
I'm glad my parents didn't, like, I wish they would have got me diagnosed, but I'm glad I didn't get put on medication as a kid because I've
Same.
Heard a lot of things about, and your brain's still developing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I took it for like I took antidepressants and ADHD medication for like a short period of time, but I was like, I didn't really believe in it. And I just was too irresponsible to like keep up on it, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then I've been therapy, like so much therapy. I've done lots of therapy, but I never really, I don't know. I just didn't try. I didn't think I needed antidepressants, but then, finally my therapist was like, you know, you've done like so much work. And I've been seeing her for a long time. She's like, you've done so much work. And I just, I'm starting to think that maybe there's like a chemical thing going on here that's really preventing you from like making the next step because I see you doing all the work, you know? And I was like, I'm so resistant. And then she's like, what if your life was significantly better? Like, what could it hurt? You know, she's like, if it doesn't work, you can get off of it.
Yeah.
So like, what if it's just a trial basis, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. And so I tried a Wellbutrin, which is often like good for people with ADHD too, because it has a little bit of a stimulant impact. Some people hate it. I've heard a lot of people. But it works really well for me. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about meds is you get people that are like, oh no, don't take that because it did this to me. And it's like, that's you, bro.
Yeah, it's
like,
so different.
That's your chemistry.
And I've heard a lot of people be like, I had one bad experience and they're like, medication doesn't work. And it's like, unfortunately, you might have to try like several medications to figure it out.
And also, the things, your body chemistry changes
totally,
too, and like things can stop working.
Or what other substances you're using too? Right?
Or if you're doing, especially if you're heavy alcohol.
Yeah, that one too. Fucked me up.
Yeah,
yeah, was just the combination of antidepressants and alcohol. It's just
it's
like
why it's on the bottle.
I thought that's because I don't know what
the extra fun warning.
Yeah, exactly. Don't do it, Taylor. What? Or excuse me, Brenda. What was your experience with medication?
I have been on antidepressants on and off since I was 12 years old. Okay. I was prescribed Zoloft at 12. My parents split up and I was a super sad boy, not because of that, but it was something that
separately
happened.
Sad.
I, like, sixth grade, I just started being real sad, crying all the time, being sad about everything, depressed about everything.
Sure.
Super lonely boy, emo kid. And my
had
mom,
some cool pants.
Yeah.
Chains. Yeah. Fuck
my
yeah.
mom found my journal. She claims a teacher, I wrote a paper and a teacher found it, but I remember this distinctly. My mom held out my notebook and was like, did you write all this?
Yeah.
And like, she's like, you need to go somewhere. Yeah. She wanted to like put me somewhere. Jeez. And thank God my dad was like, no.
Yeah.
And we got therapy and I got prescribed Zoloft and I remember the change happening pretty quickly.
Sure.
And then my dad died.
Mm.
And then like I got really into the church.
Okay.
And that was kind of like, oh, you don't need medication. You just need to pray more. And then it was like this constant battle with like, I'm a bad Christian because I feel this way and dealing with all those feelings.
Sure.
And then I'd be on and off meds and in and out of therapy over the years, depending on what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been hospitalized twice for mental health issues.
Sure.
And the last time they put me on Risperdal.
Okay.
Which is,
is that a mood stabilizer?
It's antipsychotic.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Like a heavy antipsychotic. And I was big in the wrestling scene in SoCal. Like I went to like 4 shows a week.
Damn,
like it was my stand-up comedy for like 3 years.
Okay.
And the fans all knew me, the wrestlers all knew me, and they started calling me Zombie Brendo.
Because
I went from being the loudest guy in the room, always cheering, always yelling at the ref, being that guy that they needed out there, to just sitting there or standing in the back and not doing anything.
Yeah.
Because I started getting hyper anxious around crowds and being in crowded spaces. Because I worked at a school in 2018 and there was a gang shooting at the school, not a school shooting, but we thought it was a school shooting. So we were on lockdown. I was on lockdown with 50 kids in a library for an hour.
Oh God, that's
and that
scary.
Just fucked me up.
Yeah.
PTSD up the ass. Like,
No, I mean,
then in the process of getting diagnosed for that, I got 5150'd, like, which means a mandatory 3-day hold by the cops.
Nice.
And I don't trust cops anymore. I never really did. They killed the cops. I mean, fuck the cops. They killed my friend. LAPD killed my friend.
Oh,
So I have a very bad, which is why when cops came in the room when I was at the doctor's office, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then
just made it worse.
Yeah, made it so much worse. And
they do that.
Thank God they didn't handcuff me. They wanted to.
Of course.
But the doctor was like, This guy
is already traumatic enough.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, and then I got mad at the doctor because I'm like, you did this.
Like, you called him.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It
no,
was
and it
a horrible
like
thing. And they put me on so much shit. And my brother was like, listen, we don't know how to get you out of this place. I can't do anything to get you. So just do whatever they tell you to do. Take whatever they tell you to take. Mm-hmm. So I did. And then that fucked me up even worse.
Mm,
like,
definitely.
I was a zombie for a year. I do not remember 2019. Like, I don't remember it. I got in 6 car accidents.
Jesus.
Yeah. And
if there's 1 year I couldn't remember, it definitely wouldn't be 2019.
And I got in 6 car accidents. I lost my car driving privileges. I don't drive anymore because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had a mental health breakdown, long story short, my brother moved me up here to get OHP, to get help, because it wasn't happening down in California. And I have been on Zoloft and Abilify for 4 years. and it's going great.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that those meds are working for you.
It's just a very small dose of Abilify, which is an antipsychotic.
Yeah.
It's a little scary when people get a little
the name of it sounds scary. Yeah. I took four of them this morning, so like I'm
I'm familiar.
Yeah.
It's like when I talk to it about people, I'm like, I'm on antipsychotics. They're like, what?
Does that mean you're saying no, yeah. It's anti-psych.
Anti.
Yeah. So I'm not. Taylor, what about you? What's been your experience with like medication? Maybe even considering it.
I grew up in like a kind of detached family, and I mean that in the sense that they're like depression isn't real. You're just lazy. Anxiety isn't real. You're just weird.
You're scared of life.
Yeah, and that was kind of the environment I grew up in. So it was really difficult to begin to like have that conversation with my family in the hopes that I could get medication. Once I did finally get through to them, I think I was a freshman in high school, maybe a little sophomore. But yeah, I got some therapy. Super super cool lady. But like even when I was in therapy, my grandparents who I was being raised by were just convinced that I was tricking the therapist.
Nice. You know what I mean? And I was the longest con.
Yeah, and I was like that's what they're there for. Like not to trick, but like
they, oh, never mind.
They're there to see through that shit.
I was gonna say, like, I can usually tell when someone's lying to
exactly,
me.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, sure, not everything, but sometimes it's kind of obvious.
Yeah, and like I went there because I just wanted to be transparent and honest about how I felt. And I gave benefit of the doubt on sides where I was like, maybe I was just being like this or whatever. And like I used therapy to be very transparent about stuff. But I ended up getting put on Wellbutrin. Actually, first I was put on Zoloft, but for some reason my body reacted like horribly to it. Like it just like shut me down, and I was getting like cold sweats all the time, and it was just like weird mood swings. It was just not working for me, and so from there they put me on Wellbutrin. They also told me that there's the enzyme in your body that helps you digest Wellbutrin is the same one that would go to alcohol. So when that enzyme chooses Wellbutrin, the alcohol goes through you a little bit unfiltered. So alcohol can affect people that are taking Wellbutrin a little bit more intensely.
Mm.
And then they warned me about that. And I was like, I'm 15, but okay, that's fair.
So you're saying it's cheaper to get drunk? Got it.
Exactly. Now I only drink IPAs.
Yeah.
And
white Russians. That's way more grown up.
And that was kind of it. Like I took those for I want to say about a year, but I switched therapists. I moved around a little bit.
Do you feel like they worked? Do you feel like
I feel like Wellbutrin did work. I feel like it did what it was supposed to do, but that wasn't exactly it. It felt like it handled a tear, but there was so many tears that like at that age I didn't have the lexicon for. I didn't have the understanding of, like, I didn't really know.
You needed other parts. Like medication wasn't the only.
Well, I was gonna say, I think also like a lot of people, we need you often need both therapy and medication.
100%.
Yeah,
and I didn't realize that I was bipolar at that time. I didn't know what that meant, you know. Yeah. And
I knew I was bi.
At that point, for sure. And
polar. Mm.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm cold. Not cold. You're stupid.
I was thinking about a bear. So.
Right now I'm not on any medication, and I'm trying to line that up with my therapy appointments and like get a prescriber, and this will be like a new take on it, because I do have a lot more understanding. I'm sure there's parts of myself.
Skills.
But,
yeah. You've done more therapy too. Now,
exactly.
Right?
I've done more therapy with that understanding too. And I kind of know at least a lot more of what to ask for and what to address with the prescriber at this point. But yeah, I'm really curious to see what it ends up being. But I've tried a bunch of stuff. You know, I've had friends with Adderall. I've had friends with Ritalin. I've had friends with this.
And I also had the Adderall and Ritalin when I had those friends.
And so, like, I've experienced a lot of different things in like really really small doses, and shut up. And I want to say, oddly enough, I felt like Ritalin was the one that did the most for me.
Yeah,
and I just remember being in a mall, and I felt the Ritalin kind of kick in, and I was just like, this feels nice, and like I didn't feel anxious. I didn't feel like over the top. I didn't feel like my moods or my attention span was just like flying all over the place. It felt very calm and kind of like calm but not shut down, you know. And like that was a unique experience. But yeah, I'm curious to see what comes of my next prescriber appointment.
Yeah. Well, no, I think that like medication is a journey in and of itself.
Oh, yeah. I got diagnosed with ADHD when I was 30. Mm-hmm. And I was on Adderall for like a year, but it affected my blood pressure so negatively that they had to take me off of it, and they're still like, nah, dude.
Yeah.
But it was the best year of my life. I was running 5Ks.
I bet you were doing all sorts of shit.
Adderall is quite funny.
It messed my stomach. Well, I was on Adderall. It hurt my stomach so bad I couldn't take it anymore. And and everybody said I was kind of a bitch.
You know what? You kind of got to
I got through grad school, that was cool.
Hey. I'm a bitch that got through grad school.
Nobody liked me anymore.
I'm a bitch with a degree. What's up?
I got a master's degree and everyone hates me.
Yeah, medication, it's honestly a journey. I feel like starting it is hard. Restarting it might
adjusting it.
I was going to say, it's probably always going to be a journey. But
it's always a journey.
Because you can get used to it, all the things.
Definitely. So yeah, it's an entire journey of its own, but I think it's one that's sounds like it's been worth taking for a lot of us.
Talk to your doctor, talk to your therapist, talk to a psychiatrist, just talk to professionals. Don't just talk to your friends.
Yeah, this doesn't count.
I'm talking to professionals sometimes.
We're just shooting the shit.
You're just shooting the shit. Yeah. There was a disclaimer we were supposed to say, but didn't.
To like get an idea of where you're at.
Yeah.
But don't let them make those decisions.
No. Zoe's sick of me calling. So that has been the Smoke Break. Brenda, thank you so much for joining us.
Great.
Yeah, I appreciate you. I appreciate it. That has been the Smoke Break. I've been your host, your old pal Zane. Here's Zoe Schwartz.
What's up in my eye?
Brenda, please fix it.
Yeah.
I think it's a scratch.
And Taylor.
Bye. I'm going to go scratch Zoe's eye.
Way to play us.
Too late.